Amen.
Well, what a nice surprise. Isn't that good? Thank you, Dr. Joe. Thank you, deacons. Thank you for doing that. That kind of goes into what I want to talk about tonight. Nehemiah chapter 3. And I'm going to talk to you about how to make a difference in your church. And I believe I can do this in about 12, 15 minutes. You've heard me say that before, but I believe I can do it. Listen fast, because we got a deacon meeting. And we don't want to be here all night. We've been studying Nehemiah. I started several weeks ago in the book of Nehemiah. And you know that Nehemiah was part of the Babylonian captivity. God laid something on his heart, laid a burden on his heart to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He had a real burden. We looked at chapter 1 two or three weeks ago, and then chapter 2. And tonight we're going to look at chapter 3, Builders of the Wall. And I want to make three quick points about making how to make a difference in your church. How to make a difference in your church. Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1. We read, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hanameel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Merimoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, repaired the next section. Next to him was Meshallam, son of Bechariah, the son of Mehezabel, made repairs. And next to him was Zadok, son of Barna. Bana also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. I'm going to just stop and say this chapter of Nehemiah is usually avoided because of all these long names, the hard-to-pronounce names, and it's a very uninteresting list of names, most of them hard to pronounce. But really what this chapter is all about, it records the remarkable feat of mobilizing these Israelites to rebuild the wall. Now, I want to talk to you about how we can rebuild and how we can make a difference in the church. Three points. Number one, we need a purpose. Number two, we need to participate. And number three, we need to praise. Number one, we need a purpose. Nehemiah and his people had a purpose, and his purpose was to help them rebuild the wall. It is found the whole gist of the book of Nehemiah is found in chapter 2 and verse 17. He says to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come and let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." So that was his purpose. He had a purpose, and that was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The enemies of God they wanted to stop them, of course, but they didn't want their city to be a reproach on the name of their great God. The enemies delighted in mocking them, but they loved their God and they loved the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says over in Psalm chapter 87 and verse 2, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." In other words, Jerusalem was a holy city. It was special. It always had. The city of Zion has always been special. God loves that city. And it was in ruins. It had been destroyed in 587 B.C. The temple destroyed and the gates torn down. And so God now has laid it on Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the walls. And so he goes back with a purpose. And see, as long as that city, those gates, the walls are in ruins, as long as that city is in ruins, he cannot have peace. Now I want to tell you, he had a purpose to go back and rebuild the wall. We have a purpose, all of us do, and that's to build the kingdom of God. And our purpose, really, Philan, is found in probably Matthew 28:19-20, when Jesus said, going all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And the Great Commission, that is our purpose. That is the purpose of the church. And that's what we ought to be about. Not about glorifying the pastor, and I appreciate the prayers. Not about glorifying a church, saying our church is only church, or a better church. But it's about glorifying the Lord. And that's why Nehemiah wanted to do this, to go back and to glorify the Lord. And John 15:8, Jesus talked about that. He prayed his high priestly prayer. He said in John 15:8, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." It's all about God's glory, not about glory for us. That is our purpose, is to honor Him. People like Stephen and James and Paul were all willing to die for Christ as martyrs because they had a purpose. And I tell you, if we're going to make a difference in our community and our church, you've got to keep that focus. You've got to keep it on our... And I tell you, when you get off in peripheral things, when we take our eyes off what our focus is and the purpose... And the purpose, I just remind you, is what James did here this morning, coming out of that balcony and coming to this altar. The purpose, Sam, is getting people to this altar. Amen? Getting them to the Lord Jesus for the glory of God. And so they wanted, he was grieved. He said, "We're going to go back and rebuild the wall." First of all, he had a purpose. I hope you've got that in your individual life. Number two, people had to participate. We must participate. This was a tremendous task, rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. I used to know the dimensions because I've been there years ago. I went to Jerusalem, and I've had several people, Steve, to say, want to go back one day to Jerusalem. I've had people, who talked to me about that, taking a trip to Jerusalem? Didn't somebody here out there talk to me about that? I know somebody has. Two or three people in our church that said, "I'd really like to go." I think Dr. Frank Swell took a group years ago. Isn't that right? Didn't Dr. Frank take a group? I don't see any heads going north and south. They did? Okay. Well, but anyway, Jerusalem had at least 8 gates around it. And what he does, he assigns everybody a section. When they get there, he said, "I want you to..." And it has it here in Nehemiah. It has all these names that I stumble over. He said one of them went to the tower gate, the fish gate in verse 3, the broad wall in verse 7 or 8. And then other gates, the dung gate, verse 14, verse 15, the fountain gate, the 8 gates around the city of Jerusalem. And all of them, Jim, was given a section of the wall to work on. And he formed them into teams. He's a smart guy. He split up the work. And in this third chapter, there are 38 different leaders mentioned. Everybody had a place next to someone else. These words next to each other or after each other are found 33 times in this chapter. Next to him, after him, beside him. With somebody next to you, you know that that a person not nearly as likely to be discouraged if you have somebody next to you. Right, Josh? If you got a soldier, somebody on your left or on your right, it's good to know you're not the only one working. The Bible says over in Hebrews 3:13, that we are to encourage one another daily. He knows, he tries to involve everybody. And that's good. I think it's good for everybody to be involved in the church because everybody feels ownership of it. This is not my church. And I've said this before, if everything has to come through me, you know what will happen in this church? It'll bottleneck. Why do you think we got 42 committees? Why do you think we got 6 other ministers on the staff? Why do you think we got people like Kelly Owens with the ladies' ministry? And, I told Celia recently, I said, I really like to go, and I told Ben last week, we got 18 men to go in the Honduras. I like to do it all. I like to pack these young people up tonight, take them off somewhere and eat at church. I like to do it all. I like to be the youth director. I like to be the song leader. You know that, don't you, Craig? I like to do it all. I like it. I don't want your job. I don't want your job. I don't want Ben's job. I don't want anybody's job. Sometimes I don't want my job, truth is. I said that jokingly. And I told somebody the other day, I could never do anything to hurt this church. This church has been too good to me. And the church means far more to me than I probably mean to you. But I tell you this, if I tried to do all the work, Nehemiah came back, he couldn't do all the work. He had to split the people up. Say, you go over here, you go over there, gave everybody a section, you rebuild this section. And if I did it all, I tell you what happened to the work of this church, it'd a bottleneck. It'd a bottleneck. If it all had to come through me, or if I thought I could do it all, if I could, I can't do that. Don't want to do it. Nehemiah knew that, Andy. He couldn't do it all. So he enlisted those others to help him in the work. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that God gave some pastors and some teachers and some evangelists to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now I think Craig's gifted at singing music. He can put all those arrangements together. I couldn't do that. I think Ben's an extraordinary teacher. I think we have gifts, and God gave gifts. Y'all believe that? And I tell you, I believe we all have a spiritual gift, every one of you. It just may be being the quarterback on the Powder Puff football team. That may be your, I don't know what your gift is. But I tell you, everybody here has got a gift, and everybody got something to contribute. And Nehemiah knew he couldn't do it all by himself. Neither can I. But I can do this. I can do, I believe what Mike said, and that's keep the focus, keep the purpose. And I tell you, and I preach this to our staff all the time, and if I had one time in a week, to me, that is precious and sacred next to my prayer time, it's Tuesday night. Know why? Know why? Go out there. And that's what God will bless. He said, when you go, because when you go, I'm going with you. Matter of fact, he'll already be there when we get there, won't he? He will. That's special to me. That, and I think that's one of my gifts. I think personal evangelism is my gift. I'm not an eloquent preacher. I wish I could do it. I'm probably have a long way to go. Been doing a long time. But I do know this. I do believe this. I believe I communicate. I say it loud enough and long enough. If you do that, people are going to hear you. Right, Barbara? If you do that. I'm not an eloquent speaker. And you knew that when you called me. But I said, if God's going to use you, if it's going to make a difference, you got to have what of all? First of all, Jackson, you listen to me? Got to have a what? Purpose. Number two. What is it? Got right, Josh. Josh with me tonight. Y'all got to listen. Got to participate. Now, in verse 5 of chapter 3, they had a problem. Somebody look at that verse and tell me, I don't have my Bible. What did he say? What did, read the verse. Somebody read that verse. Rachel, you want to read that verse? Can you read it? Huh? Who? Chapter 3 and verse 5. All right, there it is. Somebody read it for me. You read it, Rachel. Read it right there. Just read it. Read it for me. Read it in that microphone. Yeah? Read it. That's all right. Read it.
The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors.
Guess what happened? They had a problem. He split them up and had them going, Jackson, but they had a problem. Know what the problem was? Some of them didn't want to work. Some of those aristocrats, they didn't want to work. They didn't want to do it. And you know, that is a problem too in a church sometimes, isn't it? Some people don't want to work. That's just a fact. Some don't want to do it. Some don't want to participate. And that's probably the greatest burden on a preacher, on a pastor's heart, or church staff. We can't, some don't want to participate. And by the way, did you know that in the average church, they say this, Phyllis, they say that in the average church stand that 20% give 80% of the money. And 20% do 80% of the work. You ever read that, Ben? Something like that? You ever read that? And it may be. And that is a problem. But everybody needs to participate. What's point number one? If you're going to make a difference in your church, you got to do what? What did I say, Alfred? Got to have what?
Purpose.
Have a purpose, number two. And here's the last point. The last point is praise. Wonder how he knows all those names. Look at all those names in that chapter. He names about 30 or 40 people. Who could name all those names, Jimmy? Do you both? Who could keep up? But he knew his people, Brother Henry. He knew his people. And I tell you, as a chaplain in the Army for many years, I tried to do that, John. I want to learn my soldiers. I don't know everybody's name in this church. I wish I did. But I'll tell you a secret. I do work on that. And if I can get it about three times, if I can say somebody's name, because people's names are important to them. And he's a smart guy, Jim. You know what? He was smart. He said, and this one worked at the fountain gate, and this one at the fish gate. And he just one-on-one, he called them off. And he says this about one of them. Was pretty interesting, I think. Over there, over here in one place, he says verse 13, pretty interesting. He said, and the fountain gate was repaired by Hanum. That's verse 13. The valley gate was repaired by Hanum and the residents of Zanoah. They rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 500 yards of the wall as far as the dung gate. You know what he's doing there, John? He is quick to notice and give special words of praise to those workmen that did so good. Means a lot, don't it? Even a prayer down here front, it means a lot, don't it, Craig? It means a lot. It means a lot. And the Bible says we are to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us encourage one another more and more. And that's one of the primary reasons we get together, is to encourage one another. The Bible says, be not weary. One of my favorite passages is Galatians 6. It says, be not weary in well-doing. Somebody finish that verse. You know, don't you, Philip? For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And Nehemiah would live long enough, he would see him rebuild that wall.